Welcome to another episode of It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd.
All right. Welcome to another episode of It's Not About You with Jamal and Marianne and Cousin Todd. And we have a great show for you this wonderful Sunday afternoon or whatever time you're listening to. Our hosts, but today's guests, very funny guy. We've known him for a very long time. He's actually a friend of the show. We have today Ruben Kirsten. Ruben, how are you this afternoon or this morning, wherever great. You're at?
I'm in Olympia, Washington, and it's a pleasure to be joining you guys today.
Love having you.
I can't believe this show pays so much.
you keep that on the down low, okay? Those peanuts will be mailed to you later. I want to start off by saying this. Last week, and between last week and now, I got a lot of pushback on my thoughts on the Coming to America movie. I got a lot. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I think I was shy. Like, I was a little shy away from getting death threats from people who love this movie more than life itself. And the folks who had heard the show last week heard Cousin Todd's and my thoughts on the movie. And of course, we had butted heads. Now, I was getting calls from my friends in Chicago, in Philadelphia, and they were like, hey, are you and Cousin Todd beefing? Because if you're going to fire him, I could do his job. I kid you not. Like, I'm like, what? They're like, look, man, I'm just saying, like, are you guys beef? Like there were people out there that thought that me and Cousin Todd was actually having an issue. First of all, over a shitty movie, mind you, my opinion, not his. But I was like, hold on a second, bro. Like, it's gonna take more than a movie and our differences. But okay, like, first of all, Cousin Todd has a job here for life. Okay, he has a job here for life. So it's like, we are allowed to have disagreements. I don't want everybody to agree with me. I'm sure Marianne doesn't want everyone to agree with her on every single topic. Yeah. This was one of those topics where I felt that, you know, Twilight had their vampire and wolf side. In this podcast, it's, did you like Coming to America or did you not like Coming to America? But I caught a lot of flack.
Hold on, Coming to America too. Coming to America too. Let's make sure we distinguish that, because Coming to America was an absolutely completely different thought. You have a different thought on that movie, as I do, from Coming to America too.
Yes.
Seen Coming to America too?
Yes, I took 2 days to watch it because I just couldn't put up with that much bullshit in one day.
Okay.
Okay, so Ruben is on this podcast.
You know, the second half of the movie was better than the first, honestly.
So clearly, okay. I'm already here.
Yeah.
It's okay. I should watch Sesame Street, too. I don't want to watch it now.
Ooh, touche. And we're going to, like, not to rehash that whole thing from last week, because there's a lot of things going on. The week since then, since last week's show, that, you know, we've had a lot of things going on that we need to talk about. But at the end of the day, I'm middle of the road on it. I thought the movie had some good parts, and I thought that it was had some part very cringy parts, and I was just like, no.
The point I was really trying to make was, like, to answer all of your questions. No, we're not going to fire Todd or kick him off the podcast because we had a disagreement on a movie. We're not looking for nobody to hire. No, send your resume somewhere else. Todd is, you know, Todd is rooted here, and he'll stay here. And you know what? Whatever we disagree on, I'm sure that's not even going to be the first thing we disagree on. But anything that we or the last for that matter. But that's what makes the show good. He's allowed to have his opinion on something as trivial as a movie, you know, and I'm allowed to have my opinions. And what we do off air, which is a lot more violent than we do on air, you know, but yeah, I had two people ask me, like, so what are you guys going to do about Cousin Todd? Like, we're going to take you out on a boat, on a fishing trip, and then just shoot you in the head and dump your body into the East River. Like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to be like, yeah, we're not going to do that. Yeah, I thought it was so funny. Like, it was weird.
I can tell you right now. I've spent the better part of the last 45 years of our, you know, how many years on this planet, trying to convince Cousin Todd that he has some shitty taste in movies. And he's yet to catch on for me. So I don't think any of the rest of you guys have any luck of changing his thought process.
Well, and not just movies. I told her about a TV show that I thought she would like, and she just looked at me like, yeah, no, I ain't watching that.
Which was that? I think I know which one you're talking about, but is that the one that we watched a couple episodes of? And I was just like,
you weren't even really paying attention to the show. It was just kind of playing in the background. I was watching it and laughing my ass off, and she kind of like peeked in here and there. Yeah, no.
Which show is that?
It's called Letterkenny. It's a Canadian show. Yes.
And I saw that come up on my. I saw that come up, and I was like, "Oh, that show, the one that Todd liked." And it had a lot of, I would say, juvenile humor that I just would have probably laughed at when I was 8. But now that I'm an old lady, I'm not saying anything about you. I'm just saying for me, I would have laughed at that when I was 8 or 9.
I like that shit.
Okay.
And there was a lot of shit. I mean, if anybody's ever seen Letterkenny, obviously it's popular enough that it's got, what, 3 seasons?
Okay, I'm not going to lie.
It's got 9 seasons.
I'm not going to lie. Prior to this podcast, while I was trying to get my microphone set up, I was watching Beavis and Butthead on DVD. So, and you know what? I'm a few months away from 40 years old. Yeah, when I was 13, that shit was golden. Now I'm just like, wow, this was a thing.
maybe for me it's nostalgia with Beavis and Butthead, because I recently rewatched some of the old episodes, and I still think it's hilarious.
Oh, but no, it's so funny.
Oh. And I also knew guys like that in high school. So it wasn't like I watched it going, I don't know anybody like this. Why is this funny? I specifically have two people in mind when I watch that show, and I laugh my ass off because I can totally see them doing and saying those things.
Ruben, what's your guilty pleasure show that you saw back in the day that was funny then, and then you watch it now and you're like, wow, I like this?
You know what? I just rewatched because of Peacock forcing its free version of itself on the world. I watched Leave It to Beaver like 4 episodes back to back. Fucking loved it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of things that I was surprised that they were doing in those early shows that I would have caught as a kid. Like, if you watch episode 2, I think it is, Ward comes in the kitchen and he parks his neck on his wife's naked shoulder and he just hangs out and he's kind of like rubbing on her. Like, where are the boys? And I'm like, whoa, they were getting ready to get some. He's like, where are the boys at, dude? I'm like, hey.
That's funny.
I might have to go back and watch some of that.
I know, yeah, right?
The writing was actually pretty good. It was, there's a lot more to it that I was pleasantly surprised with. But the actors who played the parents are way older than what I remember them. It's weird.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I
want to comment on Letterkenny. I've plowed through some episodes, but I really had to force it just to keep up with what everyone else was talking about. But I did come with one takeaway from the show. Pitter patter, let's get at her. That's it. Say that shit all the time.
But at least you got a catchphrase out of it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a total waste of time.
To be fair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think what it is there's a lot of running jokes that kind of like are run into the ground and then dug up and then run back into the ground. So yeah. I think those are funny. So.
So I just had breakfast with my siblings, like I do every once in a while. We do actually pretty frequently. And there was a viral video that completely and totally passed my awareness. I guess it's been out for years. And let me say, you're talking about like a catchphrase, but I'm sure you guys look at, listen, Karen, listen, Karen.
Oh,
have you guys seen that video?
The little Mexican kid.
Yes.
The little Mexican kid.
Todd, have you seen it?
I thought it was Linda, though.
Linda.
Oh, Linda. Linda.
Listen.
Grandma's house. Yeah. And I just saw that one today, and I was like, I've never seen it before.
Really?
Yeah.
And apparently this came out years ago. Linda, you're not listening.
Listen, Linda. Like, the kid looks drunk. Like, yeah. Linda.
He's just so like, bitch, this ain't your house. I just want the cookies.
Seriously. This is like, this is grandma. And grandma says I can have the cookies. Anyways. Okay, that went nowhere.
I don't know how you missed that for so long.
Yeah, that went viral for a long time. Like, there's even memes about it that I've seen. Like, listen, Linda. Like, and like, even people at my job, some of them kind of do it because, you know, they're Puerto Rican and Dominican. They're like, listen, Linda. I'm like, okay, first of all, my name is Jamal. Like, don't call me a female name.
It could be worse. It could be calling you Karen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, did you guys see the video that I posted yesterday of the Karen who got dragged out in handcuffs?
No, but it sounds like something I want to see.
Yeah, paint that photo. Yeah, right? Paint that picture for us.
It's on the Facebook page. If you go to the Not About You Facebook page, it's essentially this middle-aged, well, actually, no, she's a senior citizen. She's in her 60s, mid-60s, white woman in a restaurant, and she was told if she's going to be in the restaurant, she needs to wear a mask, and she refused. They called the cops, and the video you're seeing is the cam on the officer's chest, and you see her telling her either she needs to put on a mask or she needs to leave, and she's like, you can't make me do anything. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to wear a mask. And he told her several times before he started to like pull her arms behind her back, and she fought the whole way.
It seems like videos that are mask related are the most hilarious and semi-violent ones.
Yeah, she even like threatened him a couple times, and she's like, you know, you're going to jail. Good example of white privilege right there.
So it seems a little unstructured. So can I just bring up a subject? You guys care?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm doing a bit of moving, and I want to get a leaf guard system for my house. Have you guys, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The gutters that hang over and the rain comes down. The commercials are wonderful, right? And I've signed up at home shows a bunch of times, but I never ever follow through with a quote. And this week I had someone come to my house and quote me the leaf guard system.
Yeah.
You know how much they fucking want it for 153 feet worth of gutters?
$2,000.
These aren't telling me like $5,000, $6,000.
Todd?
I have no idea. I'm not a homeowner.
Actual retail price is?
They want a $13,000. Yeah, I'm like, I kept pestering the guy saying, hey, you know what? I didn't want to do this long old drawn up thing. They wouldn't give me a price on the phone. You got to come out here and do your dog and pony show. And I understand, you know, you got to show value and all that. But really, I got a budget in mind. Let's just get to the price.
Right.
Get to the price And no matter what he said, I'm like, yeah, that's great. What's the price? What's the price? So he finally showed me the price, and I was just like, we're done. Bye. Go. Just thank you.
Yeah, that doesn't even read.
I'll keep my leaves. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's not even something that you won't even get that return on investment, because you can pay somebody probably about $300 to get up on your roof and clean your roof, right? Clean out the gutters.
Closer to that
divided by the 13,000.
Yeah, I'm like, and then we're trying to save your roof, sir. I'm like, that's halfway to a roof.
Yeah, might as well
that's more than a roof. That's more than a roof. Yeah. I'm saying this because I just, for my roof, because I just, so for me, I have now spoke to 5 different contractors because I'm remodeling my house so I can sell it. I know, a little shameless plug. I'm selling my house, y'all. Span away. It's a hot market. And so I've been dealing with, because I'm doing a lot of, I'm working on the roof. I'm doing painting inside, outside, new flooring throughout the bottom. I'm putting in some serious money to remodel this place, and it's going to be turnkey gorgeous when you get done, but it's a real pain in the ass right now. I'm trying to deal with contractors. I've had 5 separate contractors come out and look at it to give me some bids and to get the work, and one of the bids I had for a roof was $10,500, so I'll put a new roof, and that's for a 30-year roof. Fuck it, I'll put on a 30-year roof and pay that and be good. Versus $13,500 for no, I'll take some leaves.
Gutters.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So the hoops they made me jump through to get that fucking stupid number, I'm gonna tell everyone their shit's $13,000.
Well, what's the average?
Know that ahead of time.
What's the average cost to get something like that done, though?
Regular gutters, maybe a couple grand.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
So did you ask them, like, okay, what comes with this? Like what comes with?
Yeah, they have all kinds of little add-ons, little features, because nothing gets stuck in their gutters, but they have a special compartment. If something does get stuck in this, never gets stuck in my gutter stuff, and it shoots out the side, has a little trapdoor stuff. And I was just like, no. It's just ridiculous.
They have a special trap door.
And do they come like every like month and they take that trap door and they empty it out, like, you know, like they're the Ghostbusters or something?
Yeah, I don't know. They better have some, come out and clean it for strippers you. Installing that shit for me topless for $13,000.
Yeah.
I'm just saying those gutters better be like stainless steel or something.
Right?
Lined in gold. Jesus. So Ruby, did you say you just moved?
I'm gonna move here in May.
Are you moving in May?
I'm gonna make this a rental. Yeah.
All right. So I know that you had been talking about we were talking kind of. So Ruben and I had a conversation a few weeks ago, and we were just kind of having a conversation. We actually, you know, because we had a conversation, we were talking about Chris Brannon and stuff, and that kind of sparked us having a conversation. And Ruben was talking about, he was looking at, that's one of the things we're both kind of having in common right now, is this the whole buying a new house and stuff like that. So it's, you found one that, did you find the one that you wanted, or are you still looking?
What I did is, because I don't know if you guys are, obviously you are, Marianne, you're into the housing market right now, but there'll be like one seller and 45 buyers, and people are paying $20,000 to $100,000 over asking price just to buy a house.
Woo!
Yeah.
So what I did is I just told everyone I'm looking for a house, and I found a friend whose house I was at 10 years ago for a party. And I was like, damn, I love this house. I want to live here. And then he was like, yeah, I want to sell. I'm like, all right. So now I'm doing a private party, got a lawyer, skipped all the real estate agents, just doing a private contract.
Nice.
Going to the title company, and
I don't know
if I'm saving any money, but I definitely
Where are you trying to move to?
Waterfront.
Like in Tacoma?
No, down here in Olympia.
Oh, okay.
He's from Olympia. He's Olympia, Washington Comics. So, you know, and there's some gorgeous houses. I've been looking for something with the water as well. Like I wanted either a private, you know, lake, creek, or like Ocean View or something like that. I don't want to be on the river because I don't, that shit floods and I don't need to be flooding, you know, but I've been looking for a lot of the different things with some little bit of property. But you know, right now it's because the housing market is so insane. It is so insane. So a block and a half from my house, this is for people who aren't from Washington. I want to paint the picture for this. If you were to live in Seattle, if I was to move, I've looked at some houses in Seattle just for comparison because I do not want to live in Seattle. I absolutely do not. But for a $500,000 home, okay, this is what you get in Seattle. You get a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 870-square-foot home on a postage stamp of property for $500,000. Okay. That same $500,000, say about an hour south of Seattle, you can buy a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage on like a quarter of an acre home. That's still a $500,000 for something that's in a somewhat okay neighborhood. Some of the times you can get some property. I mean, you get lucky. You can get some stuff with some property or something. But the housing market out here is insane. So the house block and a half from me, and this is how fast things are moving in our neighborhood too. They listed that house for sale on Wednesday of the week before. So I'm looking at a calendar. So they listed the house on a Wednesday, which would have been Wednesday, March 3rd. They did two showings. They showed the house on Saturday and Sunday. Now that we can do that because COVID has opened back up. So now people can actually walk into a house, schedule an open house and go in and look. The house, they took their bids on the following Tuesday. So they listed on Wednesday on the 3rd. And on Tuesday, the 9th, they picked the bid winner, and the listing on the house was $415,000. And I don't know how much they actually got, but they probably got over asking price. And that was for just a 3-bedroom, 2-bath on, you know, not anything really huge. It was like 1400 square feet home. So for people who, I mean, in New York, people are like, damn, that's cheap, you know, versus people in like the Midwest are probably like, what the fuck? You know, and that's just that puts things in perspective of how our market is right now, because there's not a lot of houses on the market. The ones that do go on the market are so far. I anticipate once I start remodeling this house and they start seeing activity on the outside of the house and contractors out here, I will have people swinging by asking me if it's going to be going for sale, because I know that that's what I do when I'm driving around and I'm looking. And so for me to start looking for a house now, because my house isn't going to go on the market until probably about May, June, it's pointless. I'm trying to tell my fiance, I'm telling Romeo, he's looking at all these houses now. I'm like, why are you wasting your time? That house is going to be long gone and already people moved in and settling in and unpacking all their shit by the time we're ready to buy something. It's not going to stay on the market that long. And if it stays on the market for more than 2 weeks, then there's something wrong with that house or they're asking too much money.
Yep.
Here, where I live, the average turnaround for houses is 6 days from when you put on the market to when it's sold. 6 days, that's it. So,
yeah.
So I'm going to try and keep my current house and then buy the new house and move in there. But if I end up going broke, I only have to suffer for 6 days till I sell this motherfucker and get my money out of it.
Right.
So are you going to sell your house or are you going to rent it?
I'm going to rent it.
Oh, that's wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that money, yo.
But everyone's doing that right now, so there's even fewer houses on the market.
Yeah. Yeah, I contemplated keeping this house and renting it, but it would have been a really it would have been good, but you can't do an FHA loan. You can't do two FHA loans, which I'm not going to do that anyways. Because I'm going to just put the money from this house into my next house. So, I mean, that way I can get a lot more bang for my buck. But it's just, it is so crazy compared to like when I bought this house 11 years ago, It was after the bubble burst. And this thing shows like just how vastly different in such a short time of period our housing market and even our economy operates. I bought this house at the time that the bubble had burst. I looked at 80 houses. That's 80 houses within 10 mile radius of this house. Because I look at everything, right? I'm a Libra. I need to look at everything. I want to weigh all my options.
Good thing you built up your search tolerance with men.
Right? Unfortunately, my poor future husband has not built up that same search tolerance. So he's going a little bit crazy. I'm like, patience, baby, patience. I also lived in a tent for 6 weeks before I, and then stayed with a friend for another, I stayed with some friends for another couple, because, you know, it got really bad. It was middle of winter, and they're like, you crazy bitch, the storms are blowing. Get out of the tent, come live in a house. And I was like, after the tree branch almost went through my tent, I was like, okay, I'll come live in a house. It's really getting a little bit too blustery. But, and so for me, looking for the house, that was part of the joy. But of those 80 houses that I looked at that time, only 4 houses had people living in them. Because the economy had gone so bad. And this is when our country was bailing out all the banks, but not the homeowners. They were helping out big business. They were helping out all the money, but they weren't helping out anything for the people who were losing their homes. So the banks got paid 2-3 times over for the same house. And the people who were leaving were so enraged about how big business, we were bailing out billionaires and businesses. Like big business, it wasn't even like small businesses, but we're talking about huge, huge money makers, that they were destroying the property on their way out. They were leaving huge holes in the property, and they were peeing. Like literally one house I walked into, it, you could smell the urine where somebody pissed all over the floor. The other ones that they were doing, they were being more insidious. They were taking things like quick concrete and pouring it down the toilet and then flushing, so that because when those houses are set and empty, they turn off all the water, right? And so the people, they come through, they look at the house, the water's not running, they go to make that. And if they didn't do their due diligence and do an inspection beforehand, they didn't know that the whole plumbing was completely fucked up, especially if it was on a septic. It went all the way down through all the pipes into the septic. And that's thousands. That was like about a $30,000 repair.
I don't think any inspector would have caught that, though.
And that they weren't. That was the problem, is that a lot of inspectors weren't catching it when it first happened. So thankfully, I've done a lot of education on this. So I personally am a huge advocate. Get an inspector. Hire a licensed inspector, because if they miss something, that's why they have insurance. You can go back on their insurance to get things fixed if they miss it. Never buy a house without an inspection. That's my 2 cents.
This house that I'm looking at right now, I went on the inspection with him and spent about 3 hours touring around. I mean, it doesn't matter. I kind of have an as-is clause anyway, so I'm just getting heartburn the whole time. No one else is fixing shit but me.
But at least you know what you're walking into. You know what you're walking into.
A new roof.
Right? And that's one of the things. I got great contractors. I'll give you some great contractors. I've gone through a bunch of them, and I can tell you who had the best bid. And I'm telling you that, like, for me, what I'm going to do before I get ready to sell this house is I'm personally, as a seller, I'm going to pay for a inspection for my house, so that anything that they would call out that might be a deal breaker or would keep me from getting that top dollar, my inspector better find, so that I can get it fixed ahead of time with my contractors on my terms and negotiate and have that option to have that time to be able to get a good bid. And then when I go to put it on the market, I can show, here's how much, here's what my inspector found, and here's where we repaired it, and this was a licensed contractor, and here's the receipt for all the work that was done. And so that hopefully that when I do have somebody, if they want to have a bidding war, then people can go, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and feel comfortable waiving an inspection, because this house already had an inspection and things were already repaired and taken care of.
I don't know what's going on with Jamal right now, but he looks like he's being serviced by his bathers.
No, I'm drinking this all in because I got my real estate license. So all of this stuff, this is like normal real estate, you know, talk shop right here, you know.
And you're the only, you've got your real estate license and you're the only one not chiming in.
No, because
your license, you have your real.
Yeah, I got it's funny.
In what state?
New York.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When?
I got it.
2019, October. Yeah, I got to get my, like, it expires later this year. So I got to do my continuing educational course. That's like 22 hours. So I do that. And yeah, so every 2 years, you do that and it kind of like renews your license. If you don't do it and it expires, you got to take the training all over again.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's
so,
like my OSHA 500. My OSHA 500 is the same way. If I miss that deadline,
yeah,
I have to take all of those classes over again, as opposed to just taking a refresher class every.
Exactly, and that's years. All. And that's all this is. And since I got my license, and like even up to now, so much stuff has changed. So I'm looking forward to taking the refresher course and learning how, like, the new laws and stuff that we can't do anymore and things that we can say now. So yeah, you know, it's crazy stuff.
How is the real estate market in New York?
I could say this much. A lot of people are moving away. I've asked a lot. The rents are not, I mean, this is expensive to live here. So the rents here alone are not really doing anybody favors. You know, again, I feel kind of bad whenever I would show a home to somebody that was the size of a love seat. And then, you know, the asking prices, you know, $2,200, and I have to run to the bathroom so I could laugh my ass off because the fact
for
that
a rental?
These, yeah. Oh yeah. It's a lot. Like in Manhattan, you get the quarters are small and you're paying a whole lot for the right to say, well, I live in Manhattan, you know, but out here in Brooklyn, you could take that same, I guess, $2,200 apartment and you get at least here, if you're looking for a two bedroom, yeah, you're going to pay a lot, but you're going to get more space. You know, you're going to get more space. It's going to be in a nice area. It's going to almost be worth it. But at the same time, you're still paying, you know, 25, you know,
wow.
And there's places that are even more expensive. So what people are doing now, which I think is smart, is a lot of them are leaving Manhattan. They're going to Staten Island and they're just purchasing homes. Because right. if you can spend $4,000 a month on renting a home, you could put that towards a mortgage and just own a home.
Holy shit.
You know, so yeah, but I hear other cities are faring way better, like Phoenix and Memphis. Yeah. And you know, I mean, to name like a couple that where their rents are like not beating people over the head, and you know, people are relocating. I mean, again, with the coronavirus and all that's going on, a lot of people are working from home. So a lot of people that work in Manhattan or some parts of Brooklyn, some of them live in Jersey and they're working from Jersey. And they would much rather not have to sit in traffic, you know, taking the tunnel through to get here to Holland or the Lincoln Tunnel to get here. They would much rather stay home and work at their own pace. You know, so... And that's what a lot of people are really trying to do, which means that instead of going into Manhattan, you know, they stay home, they buy their groceries or whatever at home. They don't have to worry about buying lunch here in Manhattan or anything like that. They're saving a lot of money and they're requesting their supervisors, hey, I would like to work from home. I've been more productive at home. You know, I'm doing what I need to do. I feel comfortable doing this. It's way better than taking the hour and 20 minutes to travel from point A in Jersey to point B in Manhattan. So that's what I'm hearing and I'm seeing a lot of people just working from home.
I think we see a lot of that here too. And I think that that's probably the one thing that in our country is going to really do a shift, because a lot of companies have realized that they don't have to have the employees in the office for a full 8-hour days, 5 days a week to be productive. And it's saving them so much more money because their overhead on the cost of a building and all the cost that goes into that expense with that building, like your rent, your power, your electric, you know, your phones, your water, all of those expenses that you're putting into a building, that's extra profit you could be pocketing if you're allowing people to work from home. You set people up. You just need to have that good server and make sure it's the kind of work that you're doing. I don't see that that's going to change. I think that there's so much more benefit for that. And the employee in a lot of ways is benefiting because they don't have that freaking brutal commute. Then the only downside, you know, as long as we're able to change that and shift that so that we can still have that social interaction that we're all missing.
And on and, top of that, they only have to wear a t-shirt or a work shirt. They don't have to worry about pants or underwear.
That's true. Well, yeah, I don't know, but you got to be really, we have to be really careful because when you walk away and you think that Zoom meeting's ended, that, did you hear about that? The fucking, the it was a it was like a
politician.
Grade school. No, it was a teacher for grade schoolers. And he thought that the Zoom meeting had ended with the teaching and started jacking off. And they filmed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he thought it was.
And I was like, first of all, why? And he's like, I'm an educator. Why would I do that? That would cost me my job. I thought it was turned off. And I'm like, you know, I get it. I'm not a guy. But can you not put your dick out of your hand for 5 fucking minutes so that you can make sure that, you know, and obviously he's in his 30s. He's in his 30s.
Could have closed that laptop down.
Guys, where's both your hands? I don't see both your hands going on. That's why I see those hands dipping. You know, get your hands off your dicks, you know? And, how excited are you to do your job? Yeah, how excited is your job educating grade schoolers that you can't wait till the Zoom meeting's over to drop your drawers, whip out your dick, and start jacking off? He didn't even make it around the fucking corner in his house where people, he wasn't in direct view of his camera.
That is disgusting. Now, the fact that he's a school teacher and he was doing that. It's like, no, yeah, thank God for Zoom. You know, like, no, Zoom, it's funny because like I'll see videos of people on Zoom and like, I always look at the background, like what's going on in their background? Oh, what movie are they watching? Or what have you. But yeah, sometimes you'll see like a disturbing act. And it's like, you know, we live in a camera crazed society.
Yeah.
You know, a guy gets beat up by a cop. Trust me, that's getting filmed. That guy's not putting out his camera to help you because it's too funny to do so. Or, you know, like the video, Cousin Todd was just telling us about the lady with the mask getting escorted out by the cops.
Yeah.
There's always somebody with a camera. So before I do anything, before I even think about doing anything illegal, or I look around, you know, before I tell a joke with my friends, I'm like, hold on a second. Make sure there's no cameras around. Make sure there's no, you know, crazy people around.
And if you have an iPhone, you already know that bitch is listening. Right?
Yeah.
They are always fucking listening.
Android does the same thing because they use that information that they listen to this is what Google says anyway. They use it for customizing search results and advertising. So if you talk about big black dildos, I'm pretty sure in the next day or two, you're going to see big black dildos in your ads, you know?
I don't think that Facebook advertises big black dildos. I don't think so. I could be wrong. But I know my phone's listening. So if I start seeing some kind of ads for big black dildos, I know that it was listening.
Your phone will be like, we just recently heard you talk about big black dildos on your podcast. How much would you like to buy?
You were searching for big black dildos on your phone.
Big you're speaking of, or is this the size of big you're speaking of?
You're like, okay, Google, erase cookies.
Can you erase your cookies on your phone?
Yes.
You know, I do a lot of Zoom calls for work. And if you have like more than like 3 people are like, this is 4, we can all pretty much keep an eye on each other. But as soon as you start having more than that, and it goes to the smaller bar at the top, there's always someone fucking grooming, just sitting there picking at something. Just like, And I'm like, and I always find this person, I'm just like, what the fuck are they picking at? You know?
No, I was picking at my nose a few minutes ago. I don't know if you saw
it. I saw that, but I wasn't.
My class, we would have, we would do it via Zoom. And some of my teachers would be like, we need your cameras on so we can know that you're paying attention. And in some cases, you're like, ooh, no, we don't want your camera. Turn your fucking camera off. Like, you know, because you'll see things that you're just like, oh, Jesus, what, why? Like, you know, at least, you know, so now some of them will have green screens, which I think is amazing because it hides all that other stuff that you don't want to see. But, yeah. You know, you'll see like kids running up to their parents and just saying like the darndest things. And it's just like, oh no, don't, like, just don't.
I have one.
Well, there was like, what was that woman? She was getting interviewed on the news. She was on the Zoom and she's sitting there having a conversation. She was like, the English one, you know which one I'm talking about. And somebody pointed out that on her bookcase behind her, she had a big old dildo.
I have seen this. It was a good sized dildo too. It was just sitting there, right? In front of a bunch of books.
Yeah,
it was sitting there on the bookshelf next to the book.
Yeah, it's like, why would you like be? You know, like be aware of your surroundings if you're gonna do something like that. If you're gonna,
that's gonna be a setup. No woman leaves her dildo on the bookcase. It's in the fucking nightstand in their drawer. You know, I mean, come on, it's right next to the bed where she's gonna. They use it unless
maybe
she got
likes
freaky
to read
with some friends.
Rub out one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Maybe she got freaky with some friends. You know,
or maybe somebody was like, "Oh, take this picture," and her friend was like, "I'll put this right here, and hopefully she won't notice until later."
Who knows what her last Zoom call was about?
Let's be honest, that's for her OnlyFans.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past people. I mean, I saw that same. I was like, my thing is always like, nobody's this careless. But then again, I'm like, I get why not, you know. But I wouldn't want
every mistake I've ever made. I've always been like, how the fuck did I do that? What was I thinking?
Yeah, right.
Or she's probably just like, hey, you know what?
Why wasn't I thinking?
I'm not the only person that uses an object like this, so like, I'm only human. People will get over it. But I saw that and I was like, wow, that's pretty bold. That's pretty brave to do something like that.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the Zoom conference call that gets posted on YouTube of some random kid going, look, Ma, I'm a unicorn, and has her strapped on her head.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. That poor kid. That poor child.
I'm a unicorn.
You gotta sit him down and be like, okay, this is for mommies. This is for mommies when daddies aren't around.
Or when he is around.
Wasn't that on Deadpool? Wasn't that called International Women's Day?
Yeah. He got pegged by her. Yeah.
Yep. International Women's Day. You know what? I mentioned that to Romeo that International Women's Day was coming up, and he told me I could fuck right off. I don't know.
Okay. Wow. That's the response you got? Okay. It was like, is it every day? International Women's Day? Isn't it every day?
Monday. It was actually Monday of last week.
Oh,
so
no,
in
I know.
Case y'all missed it, International Women's Day.
Oh, trust me, Marianne, we did not miss it at all because we were reminded every hour on the fucking hour. Okay. We did not miss it at all. As a matter of fact, on the eve of that day, we were reminded on the hour, every hour.
Wow. Well, I wasn't because I don't have a girlfriend.
But you don't
have a day job.
Even if you don't, you are still reminded on the hour, every hour by a stranger or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, you were reminded. Facebook definitely reminded you. Oh, so what are you going to do for International Woman Day? I don't know. Continue to be black and keep breathing? Like, what more do you want from me?
Same thing I do every day.
like what, Marianne, Valentine's Day wasn't enough? That was last month. Oh, wait a minute. 2 months before that, Christmas?
And next week, me and Marianne have our holiday coming up.
First of all, I celebrate that with you.
So
actually, today's kind of a holiday for me.
What is
a minor
it?
Holiday?
What holiday?
It would have been my 29th wedding anniversary. I'm gonna message my ex-husband here. Happy anniversary.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, because my ex-husband and I we're still friends. So okay. We always remind each other. Yeah, we're like happy anniversary.
Marianne, we could totally post your video that you did for Cut, I think it was called, with you, Gail, and Mike on the Not About You Facebook page for people to see, because that video is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, a lot of people. I did a Cut video with my ex-husband, Truth or Drink. Actually, it was my ex-husband and his current wife, and okay. If nobody had ever heard of Cut Video, they do things like Truth or Drink, Beer Pong. They have a lot of, and they actually have kind of like a kids one too. So it's a lot of PG, but they do a lot of different videos, and they've actually cast a lot of different comedians from the Seattle area because they actually operate out of Queen Anne in Seattle, and their videos. Typically, every video gets, I would probably say, a minimum 1.5 million views. So all of their videos go viral, with the definition of viral being, what, a million views?
I'm assuming so.
So, and that's, I think so. So I'm not sure, but they've actually done a lot of really good. The only bad thing is that for me as a comedian, they don't let us use our last names and they don't let us cross promote ourselves. Unfortunately, when you work for them, they pay you and you settle for the money they give you. And it's like usually $50, $100, but it's a lot of fun. It's a couple hours and it's a lot of fun. And it's weird when people recognize you.
Ah.
Yeah. Ruben, have you ever done any of the videos?
No.
You haven't.
That would involve leaving the house. Sorry.
I think that.
Oh, you're a homebody now?
Well, you know, yes, I've grown into my quarantine lifestyle and I just don't see any value in anything else anymore. Just fucking sitting here drinking dirty water out of a fucking jar.
I will have to say, for somebody who's quarantined, you look like you got a really good barber.
Yeah, I do.
They called your wife?
No, I shaved today.
Oh, that's all you? You did that on your own?
Yeah, I shaved my...
Oh, man.
You don't fucking straight razor every day?
I do not. Well, not every day.
Well, you could.
I'm lazy. I pay someone to do it.
Oh, well, I shouldn't say straight really? Razor. See, you know, regular old shaving razor.
Oh, okay. That, yeah. I'm actually liking this new look, and I'm looking at you, and I'm like, you know, I shaved my head like last week, and this little bit that's growing, you know, it's making an appearance. But I'm starting to embrace the ball look and the full beard thing now. I'm digging it.
What are the advantages to it for you guys?
Lesser shower times.
You know, it takes me about 7 minutes to get around this big old sphere in the morning, so. Sometimes I try to speed it up and end up cutting myself, and that's regrettable. But
and aside from that, you don't have to really worry about managing your hair too much. You know, it's just like even if it grows a little bit, it's like you know, I don't have to mess around with it. But being bald, it's, you know, I don't know. It's great. It's great for the winter summertime, being that spring is rolling around and starting to get a little bit warmer. I probably did it at the wrong time, being that it's still kind of cold, even though we had like 3 great days of 60 degree weather. But, you know, I walk outside in the morning and it's like 45 degrees. And I'm like, I feel that little chill through my hair. I'm like, woo, can't wait till springtime.
I've had stressful days where I've been running late and then I get to work and someone's like, what's going on with your head? And it's like, I've actually forgot. I just stopped shaving here and forgot to do the back.
Oh,
like I was going out with a starter mullet. I could grow a mean mullet if I tried.
How long does it take? You said it takes you sometimes 7 minutes.
Yeah, approximately 7 minutes.
Do you shave it every day?
I try to, because if you don't, then it hurts.
Oh,
once it starts going out a little bit further, yeah. still too long to shave. The first, I'll tell you this, guys. The first time I shaved my head, I just separated from my ex-wife, and I crashed at my buddy's house, and I was always clippering my head, and I'm like, I'm just going to shave it. And my brother-in-law had given me a little UFC, little thing that slides on your palm. It basically had another razor on in the middle of it, so you could just go like this and shave your head. So I'm like, okay, that's how you do it, because I had no idea how to do it before. And I'm at my friend's house, new house, and I'm shaving my head. And I'm like, okay, this is okay. And when the shave, first time you shave, you're extra paranoid. You're going really slow, right? And the damn thing broke and it fell down the drain. And I'm like, I got a half-shaven head. I'm feeling like shit. I just got cheated on and left my family, you know. I'm just fucking sitting there and half my head's shaved, and I have a regular razor in my hand because I was shaving my face, and I couldn't put two and two together for the longest to just finish my head. I was just like in shock, just sitting there going, what am I gonna do? My life's over. And then finally I shaved with the regular razor and realized that was easier than that stupid UFC toy that I just broke.
Ah,
been shaving ever since. That's why you never saw them on the market, because they're stupid.
That makes sense. That to me just sounds like it's painful. It sounds like that's just a fucking stitches waiting to happen, you know, like razor cuts all over your head when you just rub it against your head or even your legs. Yeah. That hurts just thinking about it.
Okay, so here's something stupid I learned while doing all this. Okay, so you all have razors, you've all shaved before something or other, and you usually just go one direction and pull straight down. But with a safety razor, while shaving my head, I realized I could just go back and forth. It doesn't matter. It's only going to cut you one direction. And mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if everyone else knows this. You can just go any old fucking direction you want. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure. Yeah. I've never shaved my head like that before. I mean, of course I was always taught go with the grain, but sometimes I'll fuck around and get like, you know, like those three razors from like Gillette and just shave upwards and all that. And I would get these razor bumps that were just, it would hurt. Like when my face would, like when the hairs on my face would grow, like my chin and my lips, it was like those ingrown hairs.
Yeah, you can't go changing directions.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. That's I learned that the hard way.
But not picking up and setting it back down, picking up, setting it back down. You can just push it back up and just keep on mowing your lawn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Doing that on your head really helps, just pushing it back and forth.
Hmm. I think it's a little bit different for ladies with legs, because you know what? We can't help.
I don't know any ladies without legs, but go on.
When we're shaving our leg. Well, you know, there are some out there. Don't be a hater. And
I don't know.
Have you even tried? Have you even tried to make an attempt? Anyways.
Well, he hasn't been outside a lot, so in his defense. That's true.
But I still think boxing better for him to meet
somebody online. Who?
You remember that old ass movie, Boxing Helena?
No.
The last time I shaved anything that wasn't like my face was back when I was in high school and I was on swim team. I shaved everything.
Oh yeah, you kind of have to.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is like, guys don't realize this. You don't really notice like when stubble comes in your face, it doesn't rub against anything. But when you shave anywhere else in your body, when it starts coming back in, itches like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Todd, did you ever shave your ass?
I shaved everything. I wanted to make sure.
Wow. That is like the worst. You know what, guys? I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
When they say we want you to shave, you can fuck right off. I'll tell you what, if I can't get in for a Brazilian, I ain't shaving shit. Because I'm telling you, it is like you have a wild Wolverine loose in your ass. It's like sandpaper between your skin parts. And it's like
a Brillo pad to clean your butt.
It is. You're right. It is like a Brillo pad. You're like one of those SOS pads. You know how they feel like it's now picture that between your ass cheeks. That's every walk. It's like just a scrub.
Oh, yeah. On a hot, sweaty day.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my asshole just is burning just thinking about that right now. You know, it just feels like a hemorrhoid just, you know, raging.
Yes, and I just need you guys, if you think about that when you think that your why doesn't your lady shave, That's, you know, that's all I'm going to say. It's just a Brillo pad.
Well, okay. Now we're talking about just legs, or we're talking about like the nether regions.
The nether regions. The legs is a little bit different. There's no excuse. Shave that shit every day, because you know that. So you don't have it. But you know, it's time consuming. If you have to go from ankle to waist every single day, that's a long time in that shower. If it takes Ruben 7 minutes to make a lap around his head, how long do you think it takes for a woman to shave ankle to waist on both legs every single day?
What's your ethnicity?
Why?
Because it can vary.
Oh, it does. No, I understand that. I come from very hairy people, though. I'm going to tell you right now. I come from very hairy people.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I don't know. That's...
I mean, I have once shaved my nether regions just for the hell of it. And I probably should have picked a much cooler climate before doing that, because I did that. I did it in July.
No.
And you know, at the time I kind of presented it to my lady and she laughed at me. She was like, wait a minute, like, did you do this for me? And I was like, surprise. And she just busted out laughing. She was like, oh my God, she was like, okay, speaking as a woman, you are going to be in so much pain in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you thought those hair bumps on your neck were bad. Just wait.
Oh, God. Yeah. And this is like, and Seattle doesn't really get.
Thanks for tuning into another episode of It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd. Be sure to check them out on all their social medias at Not About You Pod. That's NOTABOUT, the letter U, POD, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.